Now, get your Bible in, turn with me to the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 12. Lord willing, we'll start there. Let me say that these chapters here are not easier to be understood. It's a spiritual gift, it must be spiritual discern. And God alone can give us a correct understanding of what's being said through these scriptures. And there's some things in there that I really have to think and meditate and pray over. And continue to read and ask God to give me some understanding. So I have a little bit, and it's very little. Some things I don't have a lot of things I don't have understanding over. But these next few chapters, we'll, the Lord willing, go to chapter 12, 13, and 14. I think the hardest one to be able to discern, to understand, would have been the event with the women in chapter 13, verse 17. 18 on down through the remaining portion of that chapter, when they made certain comments about making them to fly. So I ponder what that may have meant, making them to fly. So we'll talk about that, God being an effort, and about the kerchiefs that they made, of course, to go on the head of these idols. I understand a bit of that. And then the armpits, the armholes, they made these pillars for them to rest on, seduced and enticed. And we'll talk about that, God being an effort. Pray the Lord will enlighten us, and I'll be able to write it by the word of truth. Don't intend to say nothing that I don't have any understanding about. If I'm void or vain and don't have the understanding, I'll share that with you. I'm void and vain about a lot of things concerning the word of God. It's his book, his Bible, and I need to have a lot more understanding concerning his word, his will, and his way, and I'm seeking and searching, and as he sees fit, he'll give it to it. Well, let's look in chapter number 12. If you would, please, remember now, this is still a time when, of course, the final annihilation and destruction of Jerusalem itself, the city and Judah, had not fully been carried away into Babylonian captivity as of yet. So he's still prophesying to the people there in captivity, and then having visions is where he went over into Jerusalem, and God showed him a lot of the things that transpired and took place, the abominations and all these different kind of things that the people were doing. And God continued to prophesy through his prophets about destruction coming and problems coming. All that had come, but the people there were stiff-necked and hard-hearted, rebellious, and they wanted to do what they wanted to do and try to drag God into it and proclaim him to be their God. But their God was idols and abominations, everything that they could imagine, imagination, their own evil hearts. Whatever they sought to set up to fall down before, those things became their gods. They fell down before them and worshipped them and practiced them and carried out these stinking, abominable ways, ungodly ways before the Lord. So finally they brought this destruction upon themselves, this annihilation upon themselves. And in conclusion, I believe in chapter 14, it talks about three righteous people. And even though they were there, their prayers wouldn't deliver anybody but their own soul, because they were the only ones that were righteous. And that's the only one to become. It wasn't there. Sons and daughters, but it was sons and daughters. But then he went on to say, in conclusion, that he'd be comforted, that his Ezekiel would be comforted because of the remnant God promised, the election, that he promised them that would be spared. They'd come over there, and he'd be, of course, refreshed and thoughtful and thankful about what God done in sparing some of those that were the remnant, those that were there, that he spared, of course, his promise that he made on Abraham. Let's look in chapter 12. I'll be a little clearer that I hope when God give me some understanding when I get over that far over. And in this particular chapter, the word of the Lord also, he said, came unto me, saying, also, men, a continuation of God's word continued to come to him and speaking to him and speaking through him to the people. Remember, he carried out, he acted out the things that God required of him to do, to speak to the people about. So they'd inquire, what are you doing? What is this? What kind of sign? What does this mean? And so he would tell them what it meant, what it pertains to, and what God caused him to carry out these particular things that he done. The word of the Lord also came to me, saying, Son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house, which have eyes to see and see not. They have ears to hear and hear not, for they're a rebellious house. Now, they had the eyes to see, they had the ears to hear. God gave them all of that. He gave them the commandment, the precept, the judgment, the statutes, all the things that he done before them. They had that history. They knew about that. They knew that they were God's elect, God's people, that is according to the flesh. But these people weren't God's children. They were transgressors, disobedient, rebellious, stiff-necked, hard-hearted. They had the eyes that they could see, but they didn't see. They had ears to hear, but they couldn't hear, did not hear. So they became a stiff-necked, hard-hearted, rebellious people, all of them were just about given over to vile affections, and they were polluted. Their minds were polluted, their hearts were polluted, and the only thing they wanted to do was the things that seduced them, enticed them, that they found fleshly pleasures in. They pushed God completely out of the picture. Therefore, thou son of man, prepare thee stuff for removing, removed by day in their sight, and thou shalt remove from that place to another place in their sight. It shall be that they will consider, though they be a rebellious house. He said, I want you to move. I want you to pack up and move. I want you to move from one place to another place. Get everything you got. Move from here. Move over to there. They're a rebellious house. They're going to consider, though they're rebellious. They're so inquisitive. They're going to know, what in the world are you doing? What is this you're showing? What kind of sign is this unto us that you're carrying out, moving from one place to another? Then thou shalt bring forth thy stuff by day in their sight, and stuff for removing. Thou shalt go forth at evening in their sight, as they that go forth into captivity. He said, I want you to do it in the morning, and the sight even their sight, like those that go forth into captivity. I want you to move from one place to another. Dig down through the wall in their sight, and carry out their might. He said, I want you to dig right through this wall, and carry out your stuff by that hole that you dig in the wall. In their sight, thou shalt bear it upon thy shoulder. Carry it forth in the twilight, right at the night time, the breaking of the night, when the night's coming on. Thou shalt cover thy face. Thou shalt not see the ground, but I'll set thee for a sign to the house of Israel. Now this is what is represented here. Of course, being all carried over into captivity, but it concerned the prince of Israel, which was King Zedekiah, and the people that were along with him. This was carried out. He was acting that out. Of course, you remember he took in, when they broke up the city, had a few men that went with him. They went out down to the plains of Jericho and went out of there. He thought he was going to escape, but the people of the armies of Nebuchadnezzar's army came down and got him, called him, and brought him back up to Hamath, and there they, of course, killed his boys before his eyes, put out his eyesight, and he got blinded him, and they put him in chains and carried him over into captivity to the land of Babylon. This is what he's prophesying about. It concerns the prince and the people of Israel at this particular period of time, where they thought they would escape, but there was no escape. He said, Thou see not the ground, for I have set thee for a sign of the house of Israel. He said, cover your face. This man's eyesight is going to be gone. And I did so as I was commanded. I brought forth my stuff by day, and that stuff for captivity. And in the evening I dig through the wall with my hand. I brought it forth in twilight. I bare it upon my shoulder in their sight. In the morning came the word of the Lord to me, saying, son of man, hath not the house of Israel rebellious house unto thee? What doest thou? Say thou unto them, thus saith the Lord God, this burden concerning the prince in Jerusalem and all the house of Israel that are among them. Now this was a portion. They were the house of Israel. Then the northern kingdom of Israel was up there in Samaria. Of course, there were different kings that were allotted to those positions up there after that Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, had taken over ten tribes there. Of course, one pertained to Judah, which was Benjamin, and they were the southern kingdom. But they were the house of Israel, saying all the house of Israel that's there in Jerusalem, that is among them. Say, I am your sign, like as I have done, so shall it be done to them. They shall remove and go into captivity. And the prince that is among them shall bear up in his shoulder in the twilight, and shall go forth. They shall dig through the wall to carry out their back. He shall cover his face, that he see not the ground with his eyes. Mind that also what I spit upon him. He shall be taken in my snare. I will bring him to Babylon, to the land of the Chaldeans. Yet shall he not see it, though he shall die there. I will scatter toward every wind all that are about him to help him. All this band I will draw out the sword after them, scatter them, and disperse them abroad, and slaughter them, divide them, capture some of them. But some, of course, escaped in different places, and they were scattered in, of course, all the four ways of the wind, north, east, south, and west, in every direction which they could flee from to try to get away from them. And they shall know that I am the Lord when I shall scatter them among the nation and disperse them in the countries. But I will leave a few men of them from the sword, from the famine, from the pestilence, that they may declare all their abomination among the heathen where they come. They shall know that I am the Lord. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, eat thy bread with quaking, drink thy water with trembling, and with carefulness, and say unto the people of the land, thus saith the Lord God of the inhabitants of Jerusalem, of the land of Israel, they shall eat their bread with carefulness, and drink the water with astonishment, that their land may be desolate for all that is therein, because the violence of all them that dwell therein. He's saying they're going to have a hard time. Desolation, abomination, all these kind of things are going to come and take place, and violence is going to come in, and they're going to be overrun and trodden down, defeated, and destroyed. all the people there, the inhabitants of this particular place, this land. And the cities that are inhabited shall be laid waste, and the land shall be desolate, and you shall know that I am the Lord. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, what is the proverb, that proverb that you have in the land of Israel, saying the days are prolonged, and every vision faded? They were saying this is not going to be in our day. It's not us. See, they're prophesying about something else. Their vision, don't pay no attention to it. We've got a long time. This doesn't pertain to us because this thing's not anywhere in the near future. We're all right. Everything's lovely. We don't have to pay any attention to what they're saying. Bear them therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will make this proverb to see. They shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel, but say unto them, the days are at hand, and the effect of every vision, for there shall be no more any vain vision or flattered divination with the house of Israel. For I am the Lord, I will speak, and the word that I speak shall come to pass. It shall be no more prolonged. For in your days, O rebellious house, will I say the word, and will perform it, saith the Lord God. Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, behold, they of the house of Israel say, the vision that he seeth is for many days to come, and he prophesied of time that are far off. Therefore say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, there shall none of my word be prolonged any more, but the word which I have spoken shall be done, saith the Lord. He said, it's nine hand, and destruction and annihilation is about to come. So it was just a short time off, just a few years away, when he brought total annihilation, destruction, and as we see in the book, I believe, of Nehemiah, he talked about the land there being rubbish. He inquired from one that was back there and had been there back in Jerusalem after it was over restoring the temple, the house of God, and trying to make the city clean and neat and fortified and build it up for it to be inhabitable. Well, he said, required of a certain one, he said, the old land, the walls, the city, in total rubbish. Everything, he said, is environment destroyed. So he wept much, and he himself prayed, and of course God used him to go back and be the church, which was the governor, go back over a certain amount of time, and he was in charge of restoration of the walls, the cities, and fortified, and the countryside, and everything there around the street and all that. He built that, of course, in troublous times. He built those things, and he was responsible for that, and I believe that's where the 49 years come from, the time of the restoration and the rebuilding of that in the book of Daniel over it corresponds along with what his work was that he completed during that time. So, anyhow, he's talking about these things that were coming to pass, and it was close at hand. No longer could they say that it's a long ways off. It was just within a few years. And then it came upon them, and of course God fulfilled his word like he always does. He always fulfilled the word of God. Not one jot or tittle of the word of God is going to perish or pass away till all be fulfilled. This Bible, the book, the word of God is infallible, unadulterated, pure, perfect, precious, and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It divides the son of soul and spirit and joint and marrow. It gives us a discernment and understanding, a very secret and sin in all of our heart. We could not, would not know ourselves if it weren't for the word of God. Men's not living by bread only, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So this book, the Bible, we need to pay close attention to it, take heed to it, and obey the word of God, and let the word of God dwell richly in us if you're saved. If you're not saved, then let the word of God get alive in you, transform, bring a transformation and change. He'll do that for you and in you, and life will never be the same when you get saved. And in chapter 13, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel, and prophesy, and send them that prophesy out of their own hearts, hear thee the word of the Lord. He said, I want you to go to these people that's been prophesying all these lies, that's been falsifying all the things that they say that I said, and they're wicked and they're vile and they're confusion and misleading and destroyed and devouring the people. I've got words I want you to deliver unto them. Thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. O Israel, thy prophets are like the foxes in the desert. Said, just like the old fox in the desert, the old prophets, those false prophets have become like them. Ye have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the head, for the house of Israel to stand in the battle of the day of the Lord. He said, you have not done what you should have done. You should have been a watchman on the wall. You should have been one that went in and stood in the gap, made up the head, and cry aloud and spared not, and lift up your voice and sound it like a trumpet. But if you're a false prophet, if you're vile and you're wretched, and you misled and deceived the people, and their judgment is going to come upon you. They have seen vanity, lying divination, saying, the Lord said, and the Lord hath not sent them. And they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. They tried to falsify what God had to say and hope that others would go along with their say-so and follow after their pernicious ways and their sinful and ungodly ways, hypocritical ways, and would back up the words that they were spoken to try to verify that to be true. But it was a falsehood. Have you not seen a vain vision? Have you not spoken a lying divination? Whereas you say, the Lord saith it, albeit albeit I have not spoken. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, because ye have spoken vanity and seen lies, therefore behold, I am against you, saith the Lord God. My hand shall be upon the prophets that see vanity and that divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people, neither shall they be written in the writing of the house of Israel, neither shall they enter the land of Israel. You should know that I am the Lord their God. Their names won't be recorded in the book of the living. They're going to be in the book of those that are, of course, not in the Lamb's book of life, but in the book of eternal judgment and damnation and an unquenchable fire that won't ever go out. They'll be blotted out. He said, they're not going to be with my people, and they'll know, you shall know that I am the Lord thy God, the Lord God. Because they have seduced my people, saying peace, and there was no peace. And one built up a wall, and lo, others dabbed it with untempered mortar. Now they built up a wall. This was to build their own building. God didn't require them. This is something they built up. They themselves probably thinking about maybe a wall of protection to fortify themselves, a place of refuge to hide behind. But nevertheless, it was of their own doing. Of course, this wall couldn't stand. It was untempered mortar. It was mortar that wasn't made, prepared to make it, to endure, to do what mortar is supposed to do, and that's join things together. And the stones, of course, were there loosely packed. And when the rain, he said, I'm going to send a shower, a stone, and a hailstone, said it'll be revealed. It'll crumble, it'll crush, it'll come down to naught. And then they'll get to see the foundation. Now, without a good foundation, anything in a test of time is going to be destroyed, devoured, and come to naught. There must be a foundation, and it is a foundation in our salvation, and there's no foundation laid that can always, that has already been laid, and that foundation is Christ Jesus, and we better be careful to take heed how we build thereupon. That's the foundation. These folks didn't have a foundation, and their foundation was a pledge. Of course, it crumbled. It was manifested in their sight, and it fell as God said it would. This was a great falsehood. The wall that they built up, they themselves with untempered mortar, saying which dove it with untempered mortar, that it shall fall, that it shall be an overflowing shower, that there shall be an overflowing shower, and ye old great hailstone shall fall, and a stormy wind shall rend it. Though when the wall is fallen, say, shall it not be said unto you, where is the dabbing wherewith ye dabbed it? Therefore thus saith the Lord God, I will even rend it with a stormy wind in my fury, and there shall be an overflowing shower in mine anger, and great hailstones in my fury to consume it. So will I break down the wall that you dabbed with untempered mortar, bring it to the ground, so that the foundation thereof shall be discovered, and it shall fall, and you shall be consumed in the midst thereof. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. Thus will I accomplish my wrath upon the wall, upon them that have dabbed it with untempered mortar, but say unto you, the wall is no more, neither they that dabbed it. It's going to consume it and everything else they've done. Like it is all their labors. Vain labors, and as they go up in smoke and burn in hell, so will their labors. They're all going to come to naught. Their labors is supposed to wall this stump they done within themselves. That was fleshly labors. To wit, the prophets of Israel, which prophesy concerning Jerusalem, which see vision of peace for her, and there is no peace, saith the Lord God. Likewise, he said, here's some others. Thou son of man, set thy faith against the daughters of thy people, but prophesy their own heart, and prophesy thou against them. So I want you to speak to them. Talk to them, tell them, prophesy about their abominable and ungodly ways, their pernicious ways, their sinful ways, the ways of the deceit and deception, the ways of seducing and enticement, the things that they're doing to try to bring the people into captivity and devour and destroy them. To say, thus saith the Lord God, woe to the women that sew pillows to all armholes and make kerchiefs upon the head of every statue to hunt souls. Will you hunt the souls of my people? Will you save the souls alive that come unto you? He said, these women here, these false prophets, the prophetesses, these women here, they sew pillows. The armholes, I take is the place of what maybe where that they seduced and passed to bring them in a place of leisure that they might rest and come aside, a place of falsehood that they made these, that there's a pillows of enticement, seducement, this kerchief, they put it upon the head of the statue, probably decorate to make glamorous, no doubt, the statue of the idols that they tried to seduce the people to win them over to fall down before. This is what comes to mind. Will you hunt the soul of my people? Will you save the soul alive that come unto you? Will you pollute me among my people for handful of barley and for piece of bread? Now they'd sold out the Lord and his name there for just a handful of barley and pieces of bread, something to eat, something to satisfy their own wretched appetite. To save the soul that should not die, that you kill the righteous, and to save the soul alive that should not live, but you've let the wicked live. You kill the righteous and you've let the wicked live. But by your lying to my people that hear your lies. Wherefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I'm against your pillow, wherewith you hunt the souls to make them fly. I take the word fly here, it comes to my mind. mind. I'm not positive about it, but this is the thought I have that will make them follow. To fall after for some presumptuous and ungodly and sinful ways. He said, you made these pillars to seduce them, to give them a type of a falsehood, a place of rest, a place of a way that they might come aside and fall down before your idols and your gods, wherewith ye there hunt the souls to make them fly or to follow. And I will tear them from your arms and let the souls go, even the souls that ye hunt to make them fly or to follow. You're trying to make them to follow your ways. Your kerchiefs also will I tear and deliver my people out of your hand. They shall be no more in your hand to be hunted. You shall know that I am the Lord. So I'll deliver them. I'll bring them out of your hands. I'll deliver them out of your arms. And I'll bring them out, and they'll be no more. Of course, you'll pray, and they'll not be hunted anymore. Because with lies you have made the heart of the righteous sad, with whom I have not made sad, said even the righteous you've discouraged. You've made them sad with all your faults and all your sinful, abominable ways. And I've not made them sad, but you did. And strengthen the hand of the wicked. He said, you've uplifted the wicked. You brought corruption and wickedness, abomination and damnation upon all the people, that he should not return from his wicked ways by promising him life. You deceived him, the wicked. He might have an opportunity to turn, but you've deceived him with all your lies and all your falsehood. Therefore, you shall see no more vanity nor divine divination. For I will deliver my people out of your hand. And you shall know that I am the Lord. He talked about dealing with them as he did with the prophets, also the prophetesses, that they would also themselves deal with them, and they'll all be destroyed. Of course, they'll go straight to hell because of their sinful, abominable, ungodly ways, misleading, deceiving the people there. He said even some of the wicked might have had an opportunity if they had a real prophet or prophetess, a real person sent from heaven to speak to them, and they had knowledge about their error of their ways, and they might have chosen to, of course, repent. He said they didn't have an opportunity because of your falsehood and your lies that you prophesied to them. Then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me and set before me. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their neck before their face. Should I be inquired all by them? So here they come to you. They playing like they want to hear the word of God to sit down before you. And said they just full of themselves. They've got idols that they set up in the hearts, and then they're just blinded, and all they want to do is the things that they desire to do according to the flesh. They don't really want to hear my word. They don't want to obey my word. To come down sit before you, and should I be inquired about them? Therefore speak unto them and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, and I got a message for them. Every man in the house shall set up his eye on his heart, and put it the stomach box of his neck before his face, and come to the prophet. I, the Lord, will answer him that come to the court, and the multitude of his idols. Said, I'll give him an answer. I'll speak to him, all right. I may take the house of Israel in their own heart. That I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. They've all been separated from God, foreign from God, because of the idols, the abomination, the things that they have chosen to fall down before. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, repent and turn yourself from the idols. Turn away your faith from all the abominations. Here's a message for you. Here's a word for you. Repent. Jesus said, except you repent, you'll all likewise perish. Outside of genuine repentance after God, there's no forgiveness of sin. People must repent of the sin. That is, repent of it, sorrowful about it, turn away from it, and ask God to have mercy upon them and cleanse them. They'll do that he will. Repent and turn from your idols. Turn away your faith from all the abominations. For every one of the house of Israel, or the stranger that sojourned in Israel, would separate himself from me, set up his eye in his heart, and put the stumbling block of his neck before his face, and cometh the prophet inquire of him concerning me. I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. Said, I've got some words I'll drop on his ears. I'll speak to him about it. I'll talk to him. And of course, he was talking to and through Ezekiel and others too that might have been bad he was using during this particular period of time. I will set my face against that man, and make him a sign and a proverb. I will cut him off from the midst of my people. Ye shall know that I am the Lord. Said, I'll deal with him. I'll cut him off. And I'll make him a sign and a proverb. I'll cut him out of the midst of my people. And then you'll know that I am the Lord. If the prophet be deceived when he has spoken a thing, how the Lord hath deceived that prophet, I will stretch out my hand upon him and will destroy him from all the midst of my people Israel. Said if he chooses to be in falsehood and lies and deceit, so well then I'll suffer to be so. I'll fix him up and he'll be finally eventually cut off my people. I'll destroy that wicked prophet. They shall bear the punishment of their iniquity. The punishment of the prophet shall be even as a punishment of them that seek it unto him. So those that want to seek those pernicious, sinful, shameful, ungodly, hypocritical, and false and falsehood, said, I'll deal with them just like I deal with the prophet. They'll all be divided and destroyed. That the house of Israel may go no more astray from me, neither be polluted any more with all their transgression, but they may be my people, and I will be their God, saith the Lord God. And he does that I'm going to do these things to them and for them, that I might be able to have a separation, might be have a remnant of people that would be chosen and separated and dedicated that will honor, magnify, and glorify his name. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, when the land sinned against me by transgression grievously, then will I stretch out mine hand upon it, and will break the staff of the bread of the bread thereof, and will send famine upon it, and will cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own soul by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. They would be the only ones in the world that were righteous there. That's the only ones that could be delivered. All they were there, these people were so wicked, so abominable, and so given over to self-will and ungodly ways, he said they would be the only ones that would deliver their own soul because of their salvation or their righteousness. They would be spared because of them being saved. And if I cause noise and beasts to pass through the land, and they spoil it so that it be desolate, that no man pass through the beast, because of the beast, though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter, they only shall be delivered, but the land shall be desolate. Or if I bring a sword upon that land, and say, sword, go through the land, so that I cut off man and beast from it, though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, but they only shall be delivered themselves. For if I send a pestilence into that land, and pour out my fury upon it in blood, to cut off from it man and beast, though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughter, they shall deliver their own soul by their righteousness. That's the only reason that they could, of course, be spared from judgment and wrath because of being saved or righteous. Thus saith the Lord God, how much more when I send my four sword judgment upon Jerusalem, the sword, the famine, and also be the pestilence cut off from it man and beast. Yet behold, therein shall be left a remnant that shall be brought forth, both sons and daughters. The old they shall come forth unto you, and you shall see their way and their doings. You shall be comforted concerning the evil that I have brought upon Jerusalem, even concerning all that I have brought upon it. And they shall comfort you when you see their ways, their doings. You shall know that I have not done without cause all that I have done in it, saith the Lord God. What he was saying was, he has preserved the remnant. When I said before, when he started the old world by a flood, he had to do something because all of mankind was completely divine. There wasn't but eight believers left. If he hadn't done it when he done it, eventually it went down to nothing. Mankind would have completely destroyed himself. So he destroyed the old world in mercy, the preserved seed of mankind for them to get out on the earth after the flood, and of course reproduce, multiply. And then also down in Sodom and Gomorrah, the whole city down there except four souls. And those cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, and all the place there around about, those cities, only four souls were saved. So he brought down judgment from them because they themselves were given over to vile affections and lewdness and nakedness and perversion and homosexuality and sodomite, you name it, they were doing it. God had to send destruction and violation upon them. Like he had warned his city, he chose to place his name, that the beloved city put his house, that people might be able to call upon his name, a place where a refuge, a place where people could come and worship true and living God. But they themselves were abominable, and only with just a very few was saved. And sir, if you remember when he said in Jeremiah there was a good fig and an evil fig, the evil fig that couldn't be eaten, but the good fig were their good. That was those that were sent over in the captivity. God would bless them. God would watch over them. God would prosper them. Look at the people that we had, the patriarchs, that Daniel, that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and all these other different ones, Ezra, Mordecai, and all these different ones that were faithful to God, and God raised them up to a great high stature degree. They were used greatly among the people, a great influence. They won kings and other people that had come into their contact because of the life that they lived. So these were the good figs, and he said he's saving a remnant here, and that people, he would rejoice because of saving this remnant, be comforted. When you see their ways and their doings, you show that I have not done it without a cause. All that I have done in it, saith the Lord. So it wasn't without cause. It had to be. God looks on the good things and the right things, the just things, and whatever he does is for good and for right. And of course, the evil Satan himself, he's a liar and the father of it. He's walking through it both seeking who may devour. He's the prince of power there, the spirit that works the children disobedient. He's just like that roaring lion walking through it both seeking who may devour. You can credit the devil with evil. He's a liar to father of it, and he's an evil being. He's got just a short time. He's going to be cast into hell itself when it's all said and done. And there'll be no more temptation, no more sin, no more chaos, no more confusion. We'll be in the land of the unclouded day. I'm looking forward to being there and seeing him. My brand new body, in my brand new body, and be made likened unto him. I'll have a body likened unto the Son of God, a glory, cloudy, more eternal body, prepared for the eternities of heaven. Looking forward to save the best of life. All right, I'm going to quit. And got a question or comment. Hopefully I can help you with it, but maybe not. But I know the Lord can. So if you do have a question or comment, you feel free to ask it if you will. And if you speak, read as far as you will, and then go back and study in these scriptures, if you would, please. Go back to the difference I said in reading, study. Read over, look it over, read it, try to get a little bit familiar with it, what's being said. But then you got to go back and you got to sort of analyze it. You study, you search it out, you seek it out. And remember, this is God's Word, God's Bible, and He'll give it to you if you want it for the right purpose and if you'll study it. And He'll enlighten you, give you understanding. And that's what I need is a whole lot, enlightenment from heaven. Not the wisdom that man's wisdom teaches, but the wisdom that comes from above. I want God's wisdom in me. I want to be wise as a serpent, but as harmless as a dove. I want to be more like the Lord Jesus. All right. Question or comment, anything in the heart, anybody like to ask that, share if you do, feel free. If you don't, we'll